Oscar asked me if I had a song prepared, and I said no, because I didn't. And Joey told me to sing Amazing Grace. So I was sitting there, and I was like, okay, I'm going to sing Amazing Grace. This is going to be cool. But all week, God has been putting this song to me. And I don't really know all the words, and I don't really know how it goes. Like, I'm not really familiar with it. But I know a certain somebody who is. So if you'd like to come up here and sing Till the Storm Passes Over with me, I would really appreciate it. Thank you very much. And I know that like a lot of you guys know the song too, so you can sing along too. Okay,
in the dark of the midnight, as I oft hid my face, while the storm howled about me, and there's no hiding place, mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm it passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When that long night has ended and those storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never come. Lord, may I dwell with thee till the storm passes by. Till the storm it passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hands. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Good job, Grandma.
Praise the Lord. That was good. Sherry, you was on my mind to sing too, so that just means Taylor was right in tune with the Lord there. Sure was. Praise God. Praise the Lord. If we could have the ushers, we'll receive the offering. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Jack, you pray over the offering, would you please? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you a little story here before I get started. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, just have your way in this service, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing. I just give you all praise and glory. Father, I just ask you to just fill my mouth with the things you want me to say here today. And Father, I'll be most careful to give you all praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a lot of times in life, we look at other people and we try to follow their examples. And sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes it's not a very good thing. But to be honest with you, the only example we really need to try to follow is that of Jesus Christ, because that's the only one that really matters. And in this whole story here, President Calvin Coolidge once invited some friends from Vermont to dine at the White House. They were worried about their table manners, so they decided to do everything Coolidge did. The meal passed smoothly until the coffee was served. And Coolidge poured the coffee into a saucer. The guests followed suit. Then he added sugar and cream. The visitors did likewise. Then Coolidge leaned over and placed his saucer on the floor for the cat. So you don't always need to follow everything that everybody does. That cat got a lot of drinks that day, didn't he? You just never know. I'm going to speak to you today about an added dimension in God. And Margaret, if you want to put a title on it, you can call it an added dimension in God, okay? And, you know, I work in a machine shop, and in the machine shop, anyone who does any kind of building or anything, you know that in the natural, you only use three dimensions. You need width, length, and height. And if you know those three dimensions, you can build anything. And those three dimensions are on every blueprint that we give, usually. And we make things that would astound you if you saw from a hunk of metal a lot of times. But you know, as I was looking at this, I kind of felt like the Lord, and I'd said this in Sunday school the other day, in God, he talks about four dimensions. And, you know, and I think when God talks about something out of the that's different than the natural, then we need to really take heed and pay attention to what he's saying and see what he is actually saying. And I'm going and that fourth dimension there is depth. And, you know, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." You know, you can spend a lot of time trying to strengthen the outer man, but the only one that really counts is the inner man, because that's where Christ dwells. "And as that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, you being rooted and grounded in love, and may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth," and that word for breadth there literally means the width, "what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height." Now, I told you, in building just about anything, if you know those three dimensions, if you know the width, the length, and the height of something, you can build anything. But God threw one in there that was the depth. And, you know, I looked at that word depth there and to see what it actually meant. And then it's the word bathos in the Greek, and it means profundity by implication, extent, figuratively, mystery, deep, deepness, deep things, depth. And in the Greek lexicon, it has the meaning of the deep things of God, things hidden above man's scrutiny, especially the divine counsels. Well, I don't know about you all, but I want to know about the depth of God. I want to know the deep things of God, because those are the things that are really eternal. Those are the things that will cause changes to come into my life and to other people's lives. And, you know, the rest of that scripture says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the breadth, you know, it's the breadth, but it's actually the width, and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I'm going to tell you what, if we get to where we know those four dimensions in God, then I believe that we will be filled with all the fullness of God. Because that's what he was praying there when he wrote that scripture. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The power that works where? In us. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, I want to tell you, there's some other scriptures where the word depth is used. And in some of those other scriptures, it means deepness of the sea, and it means different other things. But I'm going to read you the ones where it has the same meaning as this one I just read you out of the Greek lexicon, the deep things of God, things hidden and above man's scrutiny, especially the divine counsels. In Romans 8:38-39, and this is a great scripture, and I think everybody that reads the scriptures much would know this scripture and would be it would be one of their favorite scriptures. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither depth nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth," and that's that same word there, "nor any other creatures shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." You know, nothing can separate you from the love of God except you. Nothing. I don't care what happens out there. I don't care what anybody tries to do to you. The only person that can separate you from the love of God is you. And that's not on his part. That's on your part. Because that love is always extended towards you. Yes. You know, Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And you know, the only separation that you ever have from God is on your part. It's not on his part. Because he always has his arms extended and says, "Come." And next scripture I'd like to read you is Romans 11:31-34. "Even so, we have these also now, not believed, that through your mercy they might obtain mercy." He's basically saying there, even though these didn't believe, you know, that they still can obtain mercy through your mercy. You know, Scripture says, "Know you not that the saints will judge the world?" And I got news for you. We're going to judge it with such mercy, such compassion, such forgiveness, that I don't care what people have done, they're going to be forgiven. Yes, amen. They're going to be accounted as not guilty. And you know why? Because of what Jesus did on Calvary. Because he took all of that upon himself, and he cleansed us from all sin, from all wrongdoing, and all of those things, and we don't have to walk in guilt or in shame or any of those other things. You know, we sang that song a couple weeks ago, and we had a tremendous service here about, "I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord." And you know, that's a tremendous song. But a lot of people came up that day for prayer and made a trade with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you can trade with him anytime. Yes. You can give up all of that stuff that's burdening you, all that stuff that's beating you down, all that stuff that just wears you out. You can give it to him, and you can walk in newness of life. You can be changed. Praise the Lord. All right. "Even so, these also, now not believed, that through your mercy they might obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. And here's that word again. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Wow. You ever try to counsel God? It's not too smart. Because I tell you what we need to do is make sure we listen to the counsel of God. Have you ever tried to tell God, God, you ought to do this, or God, you ought to do that, or God, I think it'd be better if you did this over here? I don't know. That's not a very smart thing to do. 1 Corinthians 2:8-10, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You know, God has prepared some wonderful, wonderful things for you. Wonderful things. And you say, yeah, but eyes not seen nor ears heard. But listen to this next verse. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. There's that word again. The things that are above the scrutiny of man, the divine counsel of God. I like that. I like that definition. That's a good net definition of the depth of God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I have another scripture I want to read you here, and this is 1 Corinthians 2:1-16. It says, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, not with the excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you don't know anything else in life, if you know that, you're way ahead of the game. And as I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that cometh to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto his glory, which one of the princes of this world, of which the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And there's that word again, same word. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us, which things also we speak, not in words with man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Like I say, you ever try to instruct God? Tell him what he ought to do and what he ought not to do? Not a good thing. It says, but we have the mind of Christ. We don't instruct God, but we are instructed of him. Oh, man. Got another scripture here, Luke 5:3-5. And this is Jesus. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and told him or prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking or was done speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. There's that word again. And let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Oh, my goodness. Oh, what a great thing there. I got news for you, folks. When God asks you to launch out into the deep, launch out into the deep. Because he's going to show you some things that will just blow you away when you do that. And even with Peter here in the natural, when Peter launched out into the deep and let down his net, he got so many fish that the boat almost sank in the natural. But I'm going to tell you, when you launch out into the deep in God and the deep things in God, and you begin to tell him, Lord, I want to know the things that are hidden and above the man's scrutiny, especially I want to know your divine counsel. I love that. When you begin to tell him that, then he is that wonderful counselor. He is Almighty God. He's all of those things. And boy, he begins to counsel your life. And any time that you begin to ask him, Lord, I want to know the deep things of you, the things that are above man's scrutiny, you're going to find out that he's going to begin to open things up to you that you've never seen before, and things that are eternal things, and things that will change your life and the lives of those around you. I'm going to read you a little story here. It said it happened in a southern state. Eugene and Judy had 8 kids, ranging in the age from 5 to 15. They were a church-going, loving family. Gene had worked at a local lumber mill for years, and when it folded, he was left doing odd jobs for a living. One day, he had a small job in town working on a car. Judy, on this day, was dining. She was doing laundry with some of the church ladies and dropped over for a visit. And their conversation was broken up when Judy's oldest son came into the house. Mom, there's a black man coming around to the back door. Says he's got to talk to you. Immediately, these church ladies warned, be careful. Don't have anything to do with a man who's coming begging. Now here, at the back door stood the elderly black man with graying hair and soft, warm eyes. Ma'am, sorry to bother you, but my truck broke down and I'm walking to town. I would appreciate it if you would give me some water and a bit of food, if you could spare it. Judy was stunned. She found herself hesitant to do anything right away. She had been influenced by the ladies. Instead of getting the water and the food, she stood there. Eyes met, the old man waited for a few seconds, then silently he turned away. Judy felt ashamed as she went back to the table. But worse was the condemning look from her oldest son. Quickly, she grabbed a pitcher of lemonade and some cookies, and she ran out the front door to find the old man on his knees with the children around him listening as he was telling them Bible stories. She offered the cookies and the lemonade and told him to wait, and she went back to prepare a sack of lunch. She returned. I'm sorry about the way I acted. That's all right. Too many people are influenced by others. But unlike some, you have overcome it. And this speaks well of you. That night, Gene had wonderful news. The car he had repaired belonged to a man whose brother ran a repair garage and was looking for a mechanic. He hired Gene on the spot. Later, Judy told Gene about the events of the afternoon. When finished, he asked, "Did you say that this was an elderly black man? Kind-looking eyes and gray hair." He jumped out of the bed, went through his pockets until he found a piece of folded paper, which he handed to Judy and said, "I met that man walking down the road when I was coming from town. He waved me over and gave this to me. When I finished reading it, I looked up and he was gone, just disappeared." Judy began to cry as she read the note. "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels unaware." Folks, you don't know what God puts you in contact with. And so many times we can look at situations and circumstances. And even in our day, we live in a day where people are scared to death to stop and help somebody by the side of the road, because all you hear on the news is what? Bad news. You know, if someone approaches you in the evening or something, you get leery because you think, "Oh my goodness, you know, should I be leery of this person?" I'm going to tell you, so many times we don't know that God hasn't even sent an angel our way. And he did with that lady that day. And you know, I'm going to read you that scripture out of the King James. And it says here, the first verse says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." And you know, I read this little thing and it says, "As much of heaven is visible as we have eyes to see." And you know, we need to ask the Lord. And we sang that song today, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." We need to ask the Lord to open the eyes of our heart and even to cause us to see with his eyes when we come into situations. And you know, that lady, she at first felt leery of that man and she judged him wrongly. And guess what? He was a messenger from the Lord. And yet, when she come to the realization of who and what he was, all she could do was weep, because she realized, you know, that she just had an encounter with the Lord. And you know, so many times, like I say, we judge things and we don't judge with righteous judgment. And we look at situations and circumstances. And I'm telling you, we have to come to the place where we get willing to launch out into the deep in situations, where we're not so fearful, where we're not always worried about what's going to happen or what people are going to think. I've told you all the story. I heard this testimony years ago, and I'll just share it again real quickly. But I heard this testimony years ago. This woman, she picked up this man, and this man ended up abducting her. And he was a rapist, and he had killed women. And while she was in the car with him, she heard the Holy Spirit speak to her heart and say, "Don't act like you're afraid of him." And she didn't. And she started quoting him scriptures. And she kept quoting him scriptures. And then after a while, he said to her, "Well, what do you think I should do?" And she says, "I think you should let me go and that you should go on and go home." And he pulled over, got out of her car at the bus station, and I guess was going to get on the bus to go home. Well, she drove off and she called the police and told them. And they caught the man as he got on the bus. And he went to trial and he got convicted of those murders and those women that he had killed and raped and everything else. And what happened was, is that he was up on death row, and he was getting ready to be executed. And she got a phone call from the warden up there, and the warden asked her, said, "Would you please come up here?" She said, he said, "I want you to come, and this guy has asked to speak to you." And he said, "I don't normally let people who have been victimized by somebody have any contact with them." He said, "But this man has changed a lot of our lives up here." And she went up there. She went up there, and she said, first she thought, "No, I'm not going to go." And then she felt like the Lord told her to go. And she said she went up there, and she said she went and sat down across the table from this guy, and she was talking to him, and said, he told her, "Lady, I'm going to tell you something I've never told anybody else." And she says, "What's that?" And he said, "Right before I picked you up, I heard a voice speak to me and say, 'I'm going to speak to you one more time, and you better listen.'" And he said, "When you started witnessing to me and telling me about Jesus Christ and stuff," he said, "I thought, I better listen, you know." And he said, "And I ended up giving my life to the Lord." Well, he got executed and everything. But folks, we just don't know what God is going to do in our lives and what situations and circumstances we're going to come across. Be willing to launch out into the deep when he tells you to launch out into the deep. Begin, you know, don't be like a lot of people where you say, "Well, praise God, I'm going to look at this situation with my natural mind." Begin to go within and pray and ask the Lord, "Lord, what would you have me do on a daily basis?" And do that on a daily basis. And watch and see if he doesn't use you to minister a word of life to people and use you to set people free, because he will. He will. Praise God. Margaret, if you would, you could play that song that Lonnie brought in. And, you know, I was going to have us sing "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord," to close, but we sang that, so the Lord, we've already sang it. So that was a witness, you know, to what the Lord was doing. But Lonnie brought this song, and I think this song will probably fit. And I haven't even heard the song, but I believe that the Lord does all things well. And I believe it's going to fit perfectly.
I'm sheltered, I'm clothed.
Doesn't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, this might be your day today. So if anybody'd like prayer, we'd be glad for you to come up and we'll pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your sweet love and your sweet mercy. And I thank you, Father, that really the only true peace we ever will have, we have to find it in you, Lord. We'll never find peace out there in the world. We'll never find peace in all of the things of the world. All we really find out there is a lot of aggravation and a lot of confusion and everything else. But thank you, Lord, that you are that peace which passes understanding. And Father, I just ask you to help us all begin to launch out into the deep in you. That, Father, we can just begin to move and flow with you so in unison that everywhere we go that we can touch the lives of those around us. And Father, I just thank you for what you're going to do. And I give you all praise and I give you all glory. In that lovely name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all.